This wild exchange you offer us. I gave my worst, you gave your blood. Seems hard to believe. You're telling me it shows the cross. You're telling me I'm worth that much. Well, if that's the measure of your love, how else would I sing? But completely, deeply, sold out sincerely, abandoned. I'm completely, freely, hands to the ceiling in ember. Am I one life endeavor to match your surrender to me?
Keep me on your mind, God. you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And all my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Holy, holy, there's only one. I give you glory for all that you've done. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I don't couldn't earn it, you give it. And who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And all my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And all my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
Hallelujah. Give him some praise and worship in this place this morning. Hallelujah.
And I'm lifting both of my hands, 'cause you gave me chance after chance after chance. And I'm giving all that I am, 'cause you gave me chance after chance after chance. And I'm lifting both of my hands, 'cause you gave me chance after chance after chance. And I'm giving all that I am, 'cause you gave me chance after chance after chance. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And all my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And I survived and I'm here to testify. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And I'm all right if they say I'm out of my mind. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are holy. Oh, so holy. You are holy, Lord. And we sing, you are holy, you are holy. sing you.
Some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old. Then I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord. God Almighty over all. 'Cause you were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Still, closer still, Jesus, you're guiding me to your will, to your will. If all of the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old, then I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy, holy Lord. God Almighty over all. 'Cause you were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned. Glorious splendor, holy, holy Lord.
The veil is torn, the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you I bow, I bow.
The veil is torn, the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you I bow. The veil is torn, the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne room. Before you I bow, I bow. The veil is torn, the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside the throne. Before you I bow. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty over all. 'Cause you were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord. 'Cause you were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him some praise. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm His. Amen. That's a good song. We appreciate the choir for coming and leading us in worship this morning. Brother Dave's going to come and preach to you in just a few moments. I'm here to wait on you for your tithe and offering. So if the ushers would come and get ready to receive that, I want to read a verse of Scripture here that popped in my mind for this. Thinking about how good God has been to me, I assume He's been good to you as well. Has God been good to anybody out there? Amen. The psalmist in Psalms chapter 116 said, what shall I return to the Lord for all of His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of His people. God makes a covenant with us, and the covenant says this: if you'll be my God, or if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. And the psalmist here is saying, when we made those vows, how good God has been to me, I can't do anything, Terry, but repay Him in keeping my word and my vows. And I believe when God has been good to you, the least we can do, amen, is to be able to fulfill those things He asked us to do and be faithful in what He has give us to do. As a matter of fact, I've said this 1,000 times, there's something in your life that you're lacking, I would check your faithfulness in that, whatever it is. If you don't feel like you got time, see how much time you're giving to the Lord. If you don't feel like you got money, see how much money you're giving to the Lord. If you don't feel like you got enough talent, see how much of it you're giving back to the Lord, because He's got a way of multiplying those things and blessing us in that. And it's amazing to serve the God that we do and how He can bless and move and touch and minister in so many ways. And great looking crowd here for the first Sunday in August, and we got a lot going on. We'll talk to you about in just a few minutes. But if you would bow your heads just for a moment, we're going to pray over the tithe and offering. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, for all that you've done, all that you've blessed us with, God, through the years, and your faithfulness, Lord, toward us and toward this congregation. And we just ask, God, that we would now return that unto you and show people how blessed that we are of you. And, Father, we just thank you for that, and thank you for the tithe and the offering that we're going to receive. And we just pray, God, that every bit of it be used for the uplift and build of your kingdom. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, as you give your tithe and offering this morning, I want to make some announcements here as we go. Brother Dave's going to be preaching for us this week. Next week's Evangelism Sunday. If you know lost people, please invite them out next Sunday, the 9th. There's going to be a push there for the lost and evangelism. And then the 16th, we're going to have all the children come out, and we're going to I think we're having a big children's dedication that day as well. And then all the kids that are here are going to come out. We're going to give them a little something to carry with them. And we're going to anoint them little keychain things that they can take with them this year during the school year. And we're going to anoint them and almost use it as a prayer cloth, as well as those that are working with the kids. Everybody prays over the kids, but how many of you know those people working with the kids need prayer too, right? So we're going to pray over all of them there, the 16th. And then the 23rd is our Mission Sunday. That's when Dr. Kathleen Runyon, the missionary to the Nation of Israel, is going to be here. Probably one of my favorite services all year when she comes. She does a phenomenal job teaching, as well as letting us know what all is going on. And she's always got new testimonies and new things that God has allowed her to witness. That's just amazing, and it always blows my mind. I always look forward to that service. And then the 30th, we're doing Membership Sunday. I think we're up to maybe 11 or so that's taken membership so far. So praise the Lord for that. Give him a hand clap of praise for that. And so if you want to take membership, get with me between now and then, and we can do that as well. But we appreciate you coming. We want you to stand to your feet, if you would, one more time. Stand to your feet. I know you've been standing. How many went to the fair this weekend down there? Any at all? Yeah, I walked out the back door, too, and Misty called me and said, "Hey, can we have your whole parking lot?" I said, "Well, Ray, considering that I can walk out my back door and get a brisket sandwich, I guess you can commandeer my parking lot." So it was pretty convenient for me to walk 10 feet and get a brisket or a pulled pork or whatever, but that was fun. I know a lot of people are shopping this weekend. Somebody, I think, said it was interest-free, or not interest, but what is it, tax-free and all that. So, but I tell you what, look around, look at the crowd that we got here this morning to worship the Lord. Excited about that. I want you to turn to two or three people as Dave is coming up here to minister to you and tell them how good God has been to you. Just a minute.
Amen. I guess. Now be careful. We have to realize one thing. We're in God's house, so you got to be careful how you're talking. Don't lie to that person next to you. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We have something I want to do today. And I told Pastor a while ago, I said, I've wrestled. I don't know how this morning is going to go. I don't know how to go about it. I mean, I really don't. I couldn't really put anything down on paper or anything nailed down an outline. You know, Friday I just had to throw something up there, but I'm not really comfortable with it. Because the Lord told me this morning why. He said, because what you need to do this morning is you just need to share what's on your heart. Pastor texted me money. He said, "Do you have an idea about where you're going to go?" He said, "We want to do some advertising." He said, "Just think another. Do you have a title? Do you know where you're going to go?" I had a scripture and I had a title. I know what direction I was going to go with it. But as far as specifics, I just didn't have it, brother. I mean, I just didn't. And one of those things that happened during this week is we've got company this weekend. Y'all say hello to Aunt Flo and Uncle Mike. They're from Lynchburg, down around Appomattox, Virginia. They've come to visit us today. We're glad to have them. But we were sitting out back on the patio the other day, and we started talking about the goodness of God. Anybody that knows me and Teresa, boy knows we've been through it. I just don't know how else to tell you. And that leads me to the first thing I want to do this morning. Brandon's got a little old slide he's going to put up there. We think it's gone long enough. We want to invite everybody here. We are not naive enough to know that we've done anything in ourselves, but it's just simply the things of God that He has blessed us and kept His hand on us. And today, God has restored. And we're thankful for that today, and we want you to help us celebrate that. We don't want you just to come up and pray with us. We want you to come up and celebrate with us. Why? Because we want you to be able to do the same thing that we get to do every day, and that's pull you up a seat in something that God gives somebody and say, praise the Lord that God restores and He absolutely takes care of His own. We want you to come and help us do that. August 13th at 7 o'clock, we would love for you to come and help us pray for our house and just walk around it and absolutely put your fingers on a tangible thing that God said that He would bless His people with, and He'd sustain them and help them and uplift them and do exactly what they need to do in their lives. So many things that we talked about on our patio the other day. And the Lord simply said this to me. He said, what don't you tell them? He said, what you've been through and why you think you've been through it, and how we've turned that thing. Where are we going? What's it for? What's the flood for? What do we do these trials and stuff? You go through something bad, God turns that thing. Me and Teresa know without any shadow of a doubt that what we've been through, God has turned that thing, and it's just one simple thing. It's a transition from a bad thing to a good thing, and it's got us looking forward to what's next. We don't have a bad memory. We've got some sad memories, but we don't have a bad memory because we refuse to think about those things as bad, because we know our God has turned those things and made a transition to it, and we're going somewhere else. We're going where God wants us now. We're going to let it prepare us for what is next down the road. Amen? If you would, please bow your head with me this morning. God, as we thank You for letting us gather here this morning, God, we're going to remember Your goodness this morning. We're going to remember the things that You have done for us. And God, we are going to celebrate those things this morning. God, give us words this morning. Give us Your grace. Give us Your mercy. And God, let us stand behind the cross as we talk to Your people. God, lift us up this morning. God, give us words of encouragement and touch us. In Jesus' name we pray. There is no greater story in the Bible to me that talks about a change that has to take place. A change between Old Testament and New Testament. We could talk about how many different times that change was never understood. How many times that change was never welcomed. How it was thought of bad. And like I told you just a minute ago, me and Teresa have said and we have talked and we've talked and we've talked about how good God has been to us and kept His hands on everything in our lives when we needed it most. How many times can you reflect on in your life that things could have been far worse than they are? Things could have went so much different, but God kept His hand on your heart and your life. God kept His hand of mercy on you and His grace. And He said, those things that could harm you, I'll not let harm you. But I'll give you something to think about so that you can turn that thing and you can use that. It is up to us to remember those things. Can someone say amen? We can experience those. We can thrive about them. We can talk about them. We can utter just mere words about that. But until you receive those things and you get those things in your heart, till you believe them in your heart and you actually remember that there was a time that you didn't know where to go and you didn't know what to do and you did not have answers, that God was there for you and He upheld you with His right hand and He protected you in everything that you needed protection in. We cannot forget those things. Those are what we are meant to build our life upon, are those situations. What was that going to happen to the children of Israel? They've come to a place in Shittim. Something that is wonderful about that place where they camped before they crossed the Jordan River. It was approximately 4 or 5 miles from the river. But the name of that place where they was camped simply means to prepare. They were preparing to step into what God had for them. We see another thing too that happened. And I think it's wonderful for this. Because how many times have we talked about generations here in this church? How many times have we talked about those younger people that are coming up? How many times have we talked about training up the next generation because they are the leaders of tomorrow? There is an absolute biblical mandate for me to not only teach, but to deliberately teach to a younger generation so that they can be here to build the foundations of, once again, the generation after them. Can someone say amen? You have to realize that. You have to see all that. But there are things that are going to take place. There are transitions that we have to go through. Good or bad? Transition's not easy sometimes. From going from one place just like the children of Israel. What was the first thing that happened? Moses died. God tells Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant's dead. A lot of people misconceive that. God wasn't pointing out the fact that Moses was dead. Joshua knew Moses was dead. But what God was trying to do was tell Joshua, you know, he's dead, and I was with him. Now there's no difference in that between me and you. God was with Adam. God was with Noah. God was with Abraham. God was with Moses. He's saying this, now I'm with you. There's a covenant that I've made. There's a thing that's going to happen, and you are now at the point in your life to where you've got to make a transition from what you did, now that you've got to go and you've got to make the transition that now you're going to be a leader, and I want you to remember, I am going to be with you. What's he tell him numerous times in that chapter? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't misconstrue that either. He ain't telling him just to be strong and courageous, not in anything of yourself. Study out strong and courageous. Be strong. Be strong in what? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in me. You have to do a bunch of things. You have to realize that it's nothing that you're ever going to do in your own life that will bring transition the way God intends it, to be in covenant with Him. Be courageous. All the things that we have to do to be courageous, obedience is the biggest one. Amen? So we're setting the stage that there's a transition that has to happen, and God's reassuring him, if you'll stay and you'll do these things the way that you should, under my protection, and you'll believe on me and you'll trust in me, if you will stay in that place, everything else is going to be just fine. Now that's a hard thing to swallow, ain't it? A lot of times. But I think it's an absolute imperative thing to understand that a lot of times transition, there's floods and there's things that happened. This instance was a flood. When they come to the Jordan, it was the time of year, the water. You know, we all know the story. I could get into that, not going to take the time of that. There's a flood that's happening. But God's presence was to go first. There's no accident behind that. The ark was to go there. When the priest stepped in, the water stopped, this, that, and the other. We all know that. But I have to go with this morning. And this is where I want to preach from. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua 4. We're going to have it on the screens. There was something in my heart just pricked me this week. Like I say, over the last couple of days. And I have to talk from my heart for just a little while, for just a few minutes. We're not going to hold you long. But we have to understand this one thing. There's going to be things that people have to go through. Like me and Teresa have found out. There's going to be things that you're going to have to go through. It's how you go through those and how you remember them and if you will use them at a later day in the right way is what makes the difference. Me and Teresa could have very well thought, Lord, why? But we refuse to do that. If you would, stand for the reading of God's Word. Joshua 4, verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and commanded them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? A very important question. One of the main driving points of this morning's service. What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and the stones shall be a memorial for the children of Israel forever. Amen. You may be seated. Although quiet, reserved a little bit this morning, I said, that's all right. Like I say, we've said this. We've established that sometimes there's transition that has to take place. Sometimes it's not comfortable. How are we going to do it? God has simply told us this, be strong and be of courage. If you're going to do this thing, you have to do it through me because it was my covenant. Just because the workers changed does not mean that the covenant is going to change. Can someone say amen? God has made promises. God has told us things. God has let us see His Word, hear His Word, live His Word, and all the things that His covenant that He has said and promised to us, He will carry out. If he has to find the right person to do it, he will. The simple fact is this. Will you be a part of it? Quietness. For one person to say, I will be a part of this. To dedicate and commit themselves to the life. That there's simply something else about this life that is not of me, but it's got to be of God, and I've got to do this thing, that there's something that may bring something into my life that I'll simply have to change. It's not about me all the time. I may get comfortable. Me and Teresa were comfortable at Justice. We loved our home. But guess what? It's gone, and I can't change that. Sometimes there's a flood. But what me and Teresa chose to do was this. We decided to put God's peace and God's presence first. I could have took a bad attitude. I could have let it turn to a sore, a cancer in my heart and in my life. I could have let it rule something in my life in a way that was detrimental to the relationship that I have with God. But me and Teresa told each other that we cannot do that. Because we knew, we've seen from past relationships with Him and time after time again that He came into our hearts and our lives and give us what we needed, that He was still going to be good and faithful to us tomorrow because the same God was good and faithful to us in the past. And we put our faith in that. That God was going to put His heart and His meaning and His love to work in our lives. We knew that. And after the decision is made, we're not going to let this be the end of us. We're going to make this, you know, just a little spot in our life, just a little bump in the road. Everybody says, how can you let such a, something like that be such a little bump in the road? Because I refuse to say that I know what our future holds. Loss after loss after loss all year long. I know that you've talked about it and you've heard about it and everybody knows our circumstances, but we've never addressed everybody just how good God is. And on our patio the other night, we got to start talking about how good God was. We've got a notebook at our home. What we talked about the other night. We've got a notebook at our home. We wrote down every gift we was given. Every single one of them. And after we went so far, they would be a tithe check that was due. We would write that tithe check. It never failed. Did not fail that we would write that tithe check, and Teresa the next day, or me, either one, most likely it was her, she would receive the amount of that tithe check back the very next day, if not more. Don't tell me God's hand's not on that. We found the most wonderful family in the world to buy a house off of. Them boys worked theirselves to death for me. They did. Called up under the houses and everything. They'd help me do everything that I needed to do. What was that? That was God's presence in the flood. There's going to be a flood. There's going to be a time of change. There's going to be a covenant that's still going to happen. There's going to be things in our hearts and in our lives that we've got to realize that we're going to have to take place of. It is our mental capacity and how we choose to deal with those things. But here's the difference. When you get to the other side and you see God's presence has worked in your life, will you gather up stones and build a memorial for Him? How are you going to remember those things? How are you going to put in perspective to someone when someone says, what's he done for you? Can you tell me a time in your life when you needed God to be in your heart and in your life? And he was there with everything that he had to make everything that you are who you are. I don't know where Jeffrey's at. Jeffrey's probably got the baby somewhere, don't he? Right here is a living example. Another person that's been through a flood. How many years? Wanting a baby. And God has blessed them with a child now. God has given them what the desires of their heart was. This, that, and the other. She's come through the flood. God's presence was there. She's come through the flood. Now she's going to build her memorial because they've got that little baby here. He comes right through here through the back of the church with him right now. But I'll guarantee when I ask Paige and Jeffrey what God's done for them 10 years from now, they'll tell me. Because they've made a choice in their life to keep God number one in their life. There is absolutely nothing in my life. Let me show you how God works. This is a brand new computer and it's locked up. That's a sign God don't want you to use your notes, Jack. Why go through it all? Why go through it all? I told the church last week, I said, it's, for me, you all know me. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's about the next generation. Why is this church going, growing? I believe it's simply this. Simply from teaching that we made, generational teachings page. And we're showing the next generation that it's who we are. It's who we want to be. we're going to grab onto Scripture, and we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that we let the next generation know that it's all about you. We're going to be able to answer the question, what do these stones mean? Let me tell you what they mean. Let me tell you how good he was when we needed somebody to be good to us, when we needed a blessing, when we needed something, we didn't have a home, we didn't have clothes. It's a funny thing to stand the next morning after a fire with the fire still smoking and just have the clothes on your back. What do you do when you got nothing? You got two choices. You can still learn to trust God and say, I'm going to trust him with everything in me. Or you can take some other road somewhere. A path that leads to destruction. They're all destruction if you're not trusting in the Lord. What do you do that for? Because we learn quick that even though it's just a flood, even though it's just a bad time, even though it's just a thing that we don't want to go through, that so much is going to change, everything is going to change, that we know that God was going to do one thing, that through the acquiring of all these new things, that everything that we've got to have, everything we've got to do, buy houses, sickness, hospitals, death, all these things that we got to do, we have to realize and had to trust in God that he was going to do simply one thing, that even through all of this flood, all of this transition, everything that we're going to go through is for one reason, and that's to prepare us for what was next. Stones of memorial. Why did the children of Israel, the one from the tribe, why did they gather their stones? It's simply, I believe, when they started putting those things together, it was simply say this. That one person was saying, everybody from our tribe made it through because of God. People forget that there was two sets of stones. One of them's at Gilgal, where they lodged that night. They done as they commanded. They made a memorial there. They put those 12 stones just like they was commanded. But Joshua said, let's put some in the river too. I've had to remember over the last months one simple thing is this. And I think that this is the biggest reason that Joshua said that. I needed him exactly there, exactly at that time. And he was there. Therefore, I'm going to remember him because he was right there. In those circumstances, when I needed him. And the ones at Gilgal, because that's where I'm supposed to be. That's where the covenant's at. That's where I'm going to. Not only is he where I'm at, but he's where I'm going to as well. Young person, will you remember him 2 years from now? For what he's done for you now? Will you remember him 5 years from now? Those things that you've went through, those things that you'll go through, college, marriage, getting married, all these things. When you go through those things and you can look back and turn back and you can see God's hand on it, will you build and will you have stones of remembrance for him? Now fast forward. Joshua was an old man. They said he was 80 when he crossed the Jordan. They said approximately 110 is his last address to the Israeli people. And what he said was simply this: can't you remember all the times that he did exactly what he said he was going to do? He was there for us. Everything. If we'll stick to this word, if we'll trust in who he is, those things were here today because of one simple reason. Because God had a covenant and we did not get strange or anything like that, but we've stuck to what God has right now, and he's brought us to this place, and we have to do one simple thing. We have to remember that we're here because of him. And he even says this. He said, you're going to trust those ones that were on the other side of the river? He said, but Joshua said, for me and my house we'll serve the Lord. It's about a covenant renewal. What happens in the fifth chapter? Establishes covenant with God. Here we are again at his death. He said, covenant renewal. Same thing. What's he do then, Job? Build another monument. Has life led you to build monuments for him? Or have you let your mental capacity, have you let your thought process turn into something to where instead of building monuments, you build hatred or jealousy or questions? What are you building for him? What do you build? I believe Paige and Jeffrey, the first day they take him to school, they'll remember. It was a memory of a time we prayed for this child. And we waited and we waited and we waited. And there was a flood. There was a flood of emotions. There was a flood of turmoil. You didn't know. You had questions. You know. But there'll be days in that child's life, what you'll do is you'll remember. There'll be stones. There'll be things that you can look back on and say, God, you was good to us. I'm in awe today. Because when I go up here at the county line, I cross the county line, I come around that little bit, and I look up there on the left. God has restored more to me than what I had. I could go on and on, Jack. I'm going to save some of it for when y'all come up and we pray for our house. But I'll lay this one on you. Let me tell you how good he is. We finally, after years and years of, you know how it is, financially having to pay for a place, we paid for that place in September last year. And it burnt. In February. Just my luck. Well, we say, God, with your help, we want a home that has to be everything that we have to have. You know, this is what we want. And we know you'll provide. And he did. I'm not standing to you today. I don't know one red cent on it. Not one red cent on this new place. He's good. People love those words, he's good. How good is he? That's what you want to ask a lot of times. How good is he? Smart aleck. Can you tell me how good he is, or is that just words you're uttering? I'm going to tell you he's good. Those are stones in my life that I'll look back on. Those are stones that I'll tell young people about what he done for me. Those are stones that I'll remember till the day I die. Those are stones that'll help me prepare for what's next. I have no idea, but there is a reason. I'm already seeing it. We're already seeing it today. We've moved down here. Flo and Mike said, how far is the church? I said, 5 minutes, praise God. But we're down here now, and I can already see from moving down here and stuff, preaching appointments, I'm getting to go out more. I don't know where this thing's going, but I'll ride this donkey as far as it wants to walk. He's good. He's good, and I'll remember him for his goodness. I've took my stone not only to the creek, but I've took it to Gilgal too. I'll remember that he met me when I needed him most. And I'll remember that he's over there where he wants me to be as well. I'll remember that. Stand with me if you would. Do me one better than that. Come on up here. Y'all quiet. You've got energy to walk. Not been a fireball sermon today, but that's all right. I've told you a lot of times, when people shut up, they're listening to you, Josh. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? I tell you exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember when I went through those things. I put stones. I've got stones at Gilgal. I've got stones where he actually, I needed him most and he touched me at. I'm going to remember those places. I'm going to remember each time that he had his hand on me. I'm going to remember who he was to me and how good he was to me.